Download Gundelio for free today and start saving money. Get alerts to hot deals by walking into a gun store. Plus, offers, new products, and videos sent straight to your smartphone. Get your gear for less. Gundelio.com.
All right, welcome back to Gun Talk. Tom Gresham, our number here is 866-TALK-GUN. Now, if you're a regular listener, you've heard me mention the after show. If you're a podcast listener, you already know about the after show. It's just an additional segment of the show we do that's not broadcast over regular radio stations, okay? I mean, Gun Talk is heard on about 270 stations around the country, live streamed a lot of places. But then we do the podcast, and we have, well, we're the number one podcast, according to Apple, in the hobbyist category. Getting about 500,000 downloads a month, something like that. Well, the after show is different. Well, we had a call last week, and we just don't do this, but I wanted to share this with you, because Meryl, a lovely lady, called in, talking about her gun, her pastor's gun, church, swamping guns, all sorts of things. I mean, it just went all over the place. Now, the voices you're going to hear, Jim Kinsey and Tom Hennig, also producers on the show, and they're weighing in, and we're having this conversation. But I just thought, you know, we ought to share this thing. And if you haven't heard the after show before, maybe you'll hear this and go, oh, that's cool. We would love to have you join us for that, because it's always a lot of fun, okay? So the lady's name is Meryl, and she called in and wanted to talk about, well, her Glock, her other Glock, her pastor. Here we go. This is Meryl on the Gun Talk after show. Let's go to line five. Is this Meryl?
Meryl, it is.
In Little Rock. Hey, Meryl.
Hey, good to talk to y'all.
Sure, what's cooking?
Well, I'm hoping to find out. I'm pretty worried with everything going on today and how litigious our society is. I need to have some concealed carry insurance.
Smart.
And okay. So I'm hoping to get information from you, all the experts.
Are you carrying now?
I am.
What do you carry?
Gen 4 9, 26.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dang.
Mm.
Are you single?
Right.
I love it.
My kind of girl.
Well, I had a 19, and it was a little too heavy for my purse, so I just quit. I traded it to somebody at church. Seriously,
That's great.
He said, Pastor told me that you had a 19. I said, yeah. He said, I have a little smaller. And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah. So anyhow, we traded, and I got a
that's great.
Expanded mag because I didn't like the grip was too short.
Yeah. It's the Universal Church of Gaston Glock.
Yes. We have lots of people that carry at church.
Good.
Do excellent. You know? That's terrific. Okay, let's talk concealed carry insurance.
Yeah, please.
Let me back up. For those who may not know, your homeowner's insurance probably does not cover you. You probably do not have any liability insurance to cover all of that. Several outfits have come forward. There are two that have kind of, maybe three, that have kind of come the go-tos. The one that I've been using for a long time is called the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network.
Ah.
And it's not really insurance. And this gets a little bit tricky and involved. But what it is, it's basically a bunch of people who've gotten together to defend each other, if you will. And so if you need it, they can provide money, they can provide expert witnesses, they can provide legal counsel. And I know the guys involved, and they're all top-rated, top people who know what they're doing. So that would be the one. It's called Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, and their website is armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Okay.
The other one that has probably become the other big one is USCCA, for United States Concealed Carry Association, USCCA.org or com, I can't remember. But they actually started as an insurance company, and now they offer all sorts of training and magazines and events and things like that, USCCA. And so I know some good people who also offer the USCCA insurance. I would say take a look at those two, and between the two, you kind of figure out which one feels better to you. But I applaud you in thinking ahead, because it's if you get into a concealed carry or any kind of self-defense shooting, you could easily drop $50,000 or $100,000
Oh, yeah.
You know,
That worried me, and I had heard you talk about it months and months ago. And the more we get into everything that's going on, it's just like, man, you know, it wouldn't take much to, you know, to need it. You might need it. So.
And you're right. Not only is this society litigious, it also likes to sue.
There you go.
Bold. Yeah. Hey, Tom, I got a question that might help Merrill here for you.
You bet. Yeah.
Both the ones you mentioned, the USCCA, as well as Citizens Armed Legal Defense Network, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Right? Are both of those, or most of these insurance companies set up where if you're in the right, we'll back you, but if you're dead right's wrong, good luck.
Oh yeah.
Definitely, you're on your own. Yeah, they're not going to cover a bad shoot. No.
Gotcha.
Oh no, I wouldn't expect them to. Well, I wondered because I've read, and they even had a rep for USCCA job available early summer here in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't apply for it because my mother was real sick, and she's now gone to heaven. So, but at any rate, yeah, I just can you get in touch with the Armed Services, Network?
It's a terrible name.
Any time of the day or night, like USCCA?
Yes, you can. Once you become a member, they give you all that contact info. We actually have Marty Hayes on here a good bit from Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, and it's again armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Okay. Gotcha,
I would say go take a look at that. I got to switch off here. I got to ask you some questions. Okay, you got your Glock 26, which is a very nice little pistol.
I do.
How are you carrying it?
Well, I have a. I need to be carrying it on. I'm not a very large person, so it's hard to carry on person. Mm-hmm. So I have a carry thing in my purse. I carry across the shoulder, so my hand is in the bag. At night, if I'm somewhere, I have my hand on the firearm.
Okay, good.
Glock.
I like that. Okay, you're thinking. You got it figured out. I'm just going to throw a few thoughts out to you.
And
you know, Tom and Jim, you can jump in any time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I appreciate it.
One of the things I'm thinking of is, have you considered that you can shoot right through the purse without taking the gun out of the purse?
You know, in past I have, and I've kind of displaced that recently, but yes, absolutely. And I would do that, too.
All right. I'm gonna give you a quick lesson on how to do that, all right? You got it across your, not just on your shoulder, but across your chest, right?
Over
your head.
Yes.
All right. Are you shooting right-handed?
Yes.
All right, guns in your hand, in your purse.
Yes.
If you have to shoot, what you would want to do is with your left hand, grab the strap of your purse with your left hand.
Okay.
And then you shove your right hand out as far as it'll go against the restraint of the strap.
Good idea. Mm-hmm.
What does that do? What it does is it keeps your left hand from getting out in front of the muzzle.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
You know, and
it's a great idea. I don't want to blow off my hand.
Generally a bad idea in a self-defense shooting to shoot yourself.
Yep.
It would be terrible.
Well, it's bad for you. It's not so bad for your assailant.
And this is where I'm going to say, I would say go get with a firearms trainer, and do this not with your nice purse, but with a cheap, you know, get you a cheap Walmart purse or something.
Yeah.
And actually do it. And what's going to happen is when you shoot that one time, it's about a 50-50 chance that that gun is going to jam.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because the slide is going to get either hung up on stuff or won't be able to go back. It's not going to work. Okay?
Yes, you're right.
Not a problem. All right, it's all right. You got the shot off. And then what I would want you to do to train, and you may want to, you know, practice this with a very unloaded gun, is you reach out, pull the trigger, click, or with a live gun, bang. And then what you do is you get your finger straight along the frame of the gun. Pull the gun out of the purse, and then you do a tap rack. Are you familiar with that action?
I don't know a tap rack. Tell me about that.
Okay. And you would learn this in a good class. You keep your finger straight. You tap the bottom of the magazine with your left hand. Give it a good hard smack. And then you roll your left hand over the top of the slide. Grab the slide and shove forward with your right hand. Yank back with your left hand. What you're doing is you are ejecting the fired case and getting it ready to shoot. And so it's a tap to make sure that the magazine is seated, and then over the top with your left hand, rack the slide, and now you can shoot him again if need be.
Oh, I love that.
So you're going to pull the pistol out of the purse. Keep your fingers straight because you got a lot of appendages and things going on with straps and everything else. Then do a tap, rack, and then you aim back in. If the guy's down, the attacker's down, or if he's running away, let him go. No need to shoot him again. You've done what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But if he's still on you, or he's getting back up, or he's picking up a gun or a knife or whatever,
coming at you,
you got to do that. But, yeah, I would say please go find a trainer because this kind of manipulation, I want to say it's dangerous, but everything we do is good. It's tricky, but it absolutely could be dangerous. It's not something you want to teach yourself. But any woman who's carrying a purse needs to have shot through a purse and then, pull the pistol out and do a tap, rack, re-engage it, because you have to assume that it's going to jam if you shoot it while it's inside of a purse. But that's a really good way to get a first shot off really quickly, though.
Well, I've always thought that I would just practice getting it out of the purse, and I practice each night just aiming and to be sure that I still do well sighting, with the sights.
Right.
I do well with that.
You do have some good instructors around there, some self-defense instructors or concealed carry instructors. Try to find the best qualified one you can, maybe somebody who's been a cop or a special forces person or really knows this stuff, and sign up for, what you might want to do? Rather than sign up for a full class, just say, hey, can I go do a half-day tutorial with you or a full day's one-on-one tutorial?
And he was FBI and local police.
Perfect. You got the guy.
And to do the enhanced, I'm going to do the enhanced concealed carry.
Cool.
Excellent.
With him because I've heard that there is a good class, a good 2 or 3 day class. Is it in Louisiana? Am I getting that wrong?
There are a number of them around. The SIG Academy does it. They are in New Hampshire. Gunsight is one that's in Arizona. Gunsight, that's the one that's just outside of Prescott, Arizona. It's very, very good. Again, not cheap, and you have to fly there, and you have to stay there. And so by the time you're done, honestly, the reality is it's like a $1,700 5-day class. It's a full 5 days, and you're going to be probably into $2,500 to $3,000 with airfare and hotel and ammo and everything else. So it's not cheap.
No, not at all.
But you'll be a different person when you return.
I have thought of them, and if you contribute to Wall Builders, I don't know if y'all have heard of Wall Builders, but it's a Christian. Barton is the guy's last name. He owns more. Oh, I don't even know how to say it. More documents regarding the Constitution than any single person in the country.
You're talking about David Barton?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And but if you give to them monthly, you can go to this gun site that you were talking about for $100.
Well, wait. Make sure it's gun site and not front site.
Oh, now you
Big
know what?
Difference.
It might be front site. It's also
almost,
in the West. I think
I would,
it was it in
I would
Reno.
I would guarantee you it's front site and it's not the same.
No, I gotcha. Gunsight is, but they're both, in my world, I'm like from Texas, and so anything west is like,
they're all the same. It's like Montana,
yeah.
Texas, Oregon.
Dixon Line is, oh yeah, okay.
I got a friend who calls that the Smith and Wesson Line.
That could be. I like that. I think I'll use that. It is kind of, sort of, because I used to live in New York City, and on the subway one day, y'all kind of like this. I was talking to somebody, because most people who live there don't talk, and this guy was a lawyer sitting next to me, and he said, I just wanted to tell you, did you know that, and at that time I wasn't concealed carry, didn't have a gun, anyhow, he said, did you know that you can't even have mace in New York City? And I said, what? And he said, if you use mace, you better have on gloves, you better use it, drop it, and run, because they will put you in jail.
Jesus.
I said, my. Now, this is in the 90s, like right after the First World
War. It's gotten worse.
Bombing.
Yeah.
Right.
But can you imagine you can't even protect yourself in a town like New York?
No, he's absolutely correct. Yeah, mace is considered the same as having a pistol.
Well, that's crazy. I'll carry a pistol then. No, I'm just kidding. But, oh, my gosh. I mean,
there's something that works.
I'll never live
time
again.
Yet.
our visit. So, well, thank you very much. Gun sight, not front sight. Okay.
Right. And let me just offer this. It's GUNSITE, not SIGHT. GUNSITE.com. Take a look at it. If you contact them, tell them that I said you ought to call them. They'll probably charge you more if you tell them that.
Front aggression? Forget it.
You'll fly in and, But I really appreciate it, and thank you so much. I had heard of CCW Safe also. Is that any good?
And there's I don't know them, and there's another one called the Texas Law Shield.
Yeah, U.S. and Texas Law Shield, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know much about those. I think they all are somewhat similar. You want to look at the details of, okay, when would the money kick in? Who do you provide? Who are the people involved? Like I said, I'm really a fan of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network.
I will get with them then.
But you might just take a look at it. The other thing you get out of Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network that I really like is you will get a series of DVDs, and they have really excellent instruction training on those. That would be worth it just for that if you didn't get the other coverage.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. And I knew that you had talked about one, and I absolutely couldn't bring it to my mind what it was. So thank you all so much, because these are important, very important things. And I would also check on the tap rack action thing. Do you have any good ideas for women who carry on their body? I mean, what, like with a 26?
Yeah.
I mean,
how tall are you?
I'm 5'2".
Okay.
5'2", and I know a lot of people carry, like, over their sternum or their rib cage, their esophagus, you know, right in the, kind of in the center with a, it's kind of like an elastic thing.
Band, yeah. I actually know women who carry basically a bra carry. There's, you know, that. There's belly bands are often good for women, but the problem is you dress differently from guys. And
getting it out,
But a belly band can work pretty well. You just got to train on how to draw it. I would say look at belly bands as a possibility with that Glock 26. If you're not, I mean, obviously you can't wear a real, you know, tight-fitting top because it's going to print and show, but if it is a relatively loose-fitting top, if it has buttons down the front, you can certainly unbutton a button and get in there. If it's just loose, you're just basically going to be reaching down with two hands, pull the top up. It's like, okay, I'm a flasher here, but to let it go.
Yeah, you have to be. I mean, if you're trying to save your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And,
I think I'm not worried
about
that.
Nobody's going to care. All they're going to see is the gun. It's going to be okay.
That's what I would see. I would say you're not pulling me out of this car.
There you go.
But no, I already have it between the seats, I think, for that.
I like your attitude. I'm not going with you, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen right here.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this is the OK Corral right here. I'm not leaving this premises.
There you go.
And you might not either.
There you go. I like that.
I like this girl.
Thank you so much. I really love your show. I think it's dynamite, and I've never called after hours or whatever it's called, but I will start listening more often.
But call back anytime.
I'll do it. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, Meryl, wait a second. Yes. I got one question for you.
Okay.
You mentioned that a lot of people at your church carry.
Yes.
Does your church have a security team?
We do.
Excellent. Okay.
We do. And I'm on the list to be on that, but I'm not on that. But other people do carry also.
Good for you.
Our pastor carries.
Awesome.
Great.
And before I started carrying it, my pastor said, Marilyn, don't worry. There are many people that you don't even know that are carrying.
It's not a very large
church either. It's a small church.
Awesome.
But,
fantastic.
But we don't plan on being attacked.
Good.
I wouldn't want to be the person that tried to come through the door and attack, and we just say.
There you go. Thank you so much for taking... Well, first of all, thank you for choosing to take care of yourself and also for joining us here. This has been fun.
Yes, it has been. Oh, tell me one thing. You mentioned a Mossberg months and months, maybe years ago, about a good firearm for a girl at home.
We may have been talking about the Mossberg shotgun. We were talking about the shotgun? Okay. Yeah, they have several. I would say get a 20-gauge pump shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really hard to beat because you are short, or shorter.
I'm short,
You want the one that has a shorter stock, and it's really, really important. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, yeah, you can learn to use this. You want the shorter stock. It really makes a difference. I'm seeing if I can look it up here. Just a second here. Mossberg.
So no goose gun, huh, Tom?
No, none of these long goose guns.
And oh, please, no.
You know, I mean, basically, it's you're trying to, you need a gun that you can handle.
Yes. Okay. And I love my 26 for just, you know, down the hall. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm ready for that. And I had a 380 Glock. But,
Yeah,
I sold him to the guy who was my concealed carry guy.
Huh.
Anyhow, he, it's a long story, but he had had to sell his because his wife had cancer. And I said, well, I have it with me. And he said, well, would you sell it? And I said, sure. The ammo was worth more than, there was more ammo than the gun. And it was almost all Black Hills. And I hated to,
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's great stuff. Holy cow.
I hated it. But I thought, you know, this guy is such a good guy. And he deserves, his wife called me afterwards and said, she said, I can't believe, I'm so excited to have the 380 again. I'm so glad. And I said, well, I'm glad y'all have it, you know, because he had to sell it. They had to sell some guns when she was going through chemo and stuff, and so I thought, you know,
that sucks.
That's the best place to have that gun is with somebody that had one before and loved it.
Yep. And well, take a look at Mossberg, a 20-gauge pump, and find one that has the shorter barrel. Not shorter barrel, correction, a shorter stock.
Would a junior model do her?
Yeah, actually, a youth model might be the way to go there.
Oh, great. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yep, because those are usually got a standard shotgun stock is 14 inches, but these would have a 12.5 to 13 inch length of pull, and so I think that would work well for you.
Okay, I'll check it out and let you know. I'll have a range report for you, but not this year.
Awesome.
That'd be great. We will look forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Mara.
Thanks.
Yep. See you.
Take care. Very cool. Made my day right there.
Yep. Heck yeah. Before we run off the break, and I know that's where we're heading, for anybody who is carrying in a purse, guy or girl, if you're going to carry a semi-auto, human nature says you want to shove the gun forward because you're used to shooting with your arm locked out and all that. You don't want to do that with a semi-auto because if you knock it out of battery, she's a no-shoot. She's a no-go bang.
That's true. If the slide goes back a little bit. Now, there's a good argument for testing it. Get you a couple of cheap purses or bags. Mm-hmm. Try shoving it hard in there and see if your particular gun goes out of battery. However.
Or carry a revolver.
Or another technique we can talk about. I know a way to shoot a pistol, a semi-auto, where you can shove it hard into something and not have it go out of battery. It'll work every time. And we'll tell you about that on the other side.
Oh, what a tease.
Yeah, that was fun, that call from Merrill. That was part of the after show. You can be a part of that, too. All you have to do is call in after the show, or you can listen in, of course, anytime. Anywhere you can get podcasts, you can find the entire Gun Talk show. Obviously, listening live on your local radio station is the way to go because that allows you to call in real time, and we appreciate that. By the way, you know how your mom always told you to say thanks? Your local radio stations are carrying Gun Talk, and there's probably somebody calls them now and then and says, hey, you got that gun show on for those crazy gun people. If they don't hear from you, they're not sure that people like the show, that they want to hear the show. So maybe you could do me a favor, and maybe yourself as well, and call your local radio station and simply say thanks. Hey, thanks for running Gun Talk. Just simple as that. Okay, so in our call with Merrill, we were talking about shooting out of a purse, having the gun inside of a purse and shooting out of that, and then Jim mentioned the idea of, with a semi-automatic, getting it out of battery. What does that mean? With a semi-automatic pistol, almost all of them, if you press forward on something with the muzzle of the gun, the slide may move back slightly on the frame. When that happens, you will not be able to fire the gun. When you pull the trigger, it won't go bang. That is called being out of battery. So you actually push forward against something with the gun, and now it's out of battery, it won't go bang. This is particularly important when you're in one of these fights where you're like rolling around on the ground and it's just ugly and nasty. And we train for this stuff when we're doing QCB, close quarters battle stuff. You may be on top of somebody and you may need to shoot that person. You may want to, for whatever reason, press the gun against that person. This is where it gets really ugly, okay? This is the real world stuff that we train. And you want to press your gun. You may be in a fight. You may be grabbing your gun, and you may be fighting for your gun, and you're fighting for your life. And you got to press the gun against a part of this attacker, man or woman, and you want the gun to go off. How do you make that happen? How do you guarantee that happens? Well, it's really not that difficult. Your goal is to keep the slide forward in battery the way it's supposed to be. You can do that a couple of ways. And you need to practice this. And I would suggest you get a good instructor who knows this stuff. This is not for your average concealed carry instructor. This is where you want a really experienced instructor, somebody who's been there, done that stuff. You can place, if you're shooting right-handed, just assume we're going right-handed here. You can place your left hand over the top of the slide and hold it really firmly with your left hand while you're holding your pistol with your right hand, and you're pressing both of them forward against the subject or the barrier, whatever it happens to be. And you press the trigger. Ooh, isn't that going to rip your hand off when that slide comes back? No, actually, the slide's not going to move at all. Believe it or not, the slide's not going to move at all. You could do the same thing. The first time I tried this, it gave me the real willies, but it worked. You could do the same thing if, for instance, you were fighting somebody and your left hand was occupied and you couldn't put it over the slide. You can put your thumb against the rear of the slide and press hard forward with your thumb while you're pressing the gun against the person or the barrier or whatever it is, and press the trigger. And the slide will not come back. It will not rip your thumb off. You will actually hold it forward. Now, you're ahead of me. I know. Don't get ahead of me. I know where you're going. But, Tom, the slide didn't come back. You did not eject the empty case out of the barrel. You have not put a fresh round into the gun. The gun now has an empty cartridge case in the barrel, and you can't shoot it anymore. All those things are true. That's easy to take care of. You press forward, you press the trigger, you shoot, you back the gun out quickly, and you do a tap rack. If you don't know tap rack, you got to go to school. It just means you haven't been to a good training school, okay? You tap, and I mean, you smack the bottom of the gun, you smack the magazine to make sure it's in the gun, and then you take your hand, it rolls over, the way I like to do it, rolls over the top of the slide with your palm, assuming you're shooting right-handed, your left hand, the palm is facing down, and the thumb, your left thumb is pointing right back at you, or maybe at your right shoulder. You wrap it around the top of the slide, keeping your trigger finger straight along the side of the gun, not on the trigger. You shove forward with your right hand, you rip back with your left hand like you're trying to rip the slide off and throw it over your right shoulder. Then you let go. Now you have racked a fresh round into the gun. Now, tap rack takes a third of a second. Tap, maybe half a second. Tap rack, boom, you're there. In a good training class, you're going to do this over and over and over and over. You're going to do malfunction drills. You're going to be doing tap racks until you do them in your sleep. You'll do them so often you won't even know it. When you have a click or a bang or a malfunction or a jam, you'll do a tap rack without even thinking of it. You'll get the gun back in the fight. You'll do it so much that if you were in a gunfight and it went click, you would do a tap rack and you wouldn't even know that you'd done it. But only if you keep practicing. You got to do that all the time. Why? You say, well, why would I need to tap the magazine? Magazine of the gun, because we're drilling these motions to take care of a multitude of situations. One of the ways you can have a malfunction is the magazine drops slightly out of the pistol. You have pressed the magazine release, for instance, inadvertently. The mag came out, you shot one time, and the slide goes back, throws out the empty, goes forward. It does not pick up a fresh round because the magazine has dropped down in the grip slightly. Well, when we do our tap rack, we are reseating the magazine in the grip. Smack. You tap it, you rack it, and now we've put a fresh round into it. Maybe we didn't need to do the tap. But if we always do TAP-REC, we're taking care of most situations. And, you know, and look, I talk about Gunsight and Thunder Ranch and Sig Academy, but there are a lot of good schools you can go to. They teach this stuff. But just, I would just say, just be selective, be critical, be circumspect, be careful about choosing your trainer. But this stuff that I'm talking about, contact shots, wrapping your hand around the gun, all that, this is advanced level stuff. These are techniques you do not want to go do on your own. You need an experienced, trained set of eyes of an instructor watching you, not your buddy, somebody who's been there, done that, and taught a lot of people this stuff, because they will say, no, 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 wait, wait, stop, nope, take your hand off of that, move it back here, because it really does defeat the purpose if you end up shooting yourself in a gunfight or shooting yourself while you're training. And when you're messing with these things, they are, look, the reality is guns are dangerous. They were designed to be dangerous. What we do with the four rules of gun safety, and I certainly experienced that this week with my negligent discharge, is if we obey them, we will not have an accident, or if we have a negligent discharge, as I did, it goes in a safe direction because we're being very careful with our muzzle discipline. Again, get good training, practice this stuff. There's a world of things to learn out there. If you got any questions about that, give me a call right now, 866-TALK-GUN. Justin, don't go far. We'll get to you on the backside of this break.
The Smith & Wesson M&P 380 Shield Easy Pistol revolutionized personal protection with its easy-to-use design. Now, enter the M&P Shield Easy in 9mm. Built for personal and home protection, the Smith & Wesson M&P 9 Shield Easy Pistol features the same easy-to-rack, easy-to-load, and easy-to-shoot design of the M&P Shield Easy series. Available at a retailer near you. Find out more at smith-wesson.com.
Get ready for a bodacious giveaway from Gun Talk, Glock, Crossbreed Holsters, and Lipsies. In 1982, the very first Glock was approved for use by the Australian military. Up until today, no U.S. civilian had a chance to own that Glock P80. Well, you do now. The Glock P80 is a gnarly exclusive retro gun from lipsiesguns.com. The Glock P80 is similar to the Gen 1 G17, but this one comes with extras. The original Glock plastic Tupperware case, a special Glock overbox with certificate of authenticity, and of course, it's the only P80 Glock offered in the U.S. Go to guntalk.com/win to enter. One winner will receive the Glock P80 pistol, a Crossbreed Holsters prize pack, and a loaded Lipsy's swag bag. Enter to win at guntalk.com/win. It's so rad. That's guntalk.com/win.
The Ruger pistol that started it all is now even better. The Ruger Mark IV has the same great look as the Mark III, but now its simple one-button takedown means less time taking apart your gun and more time shooting it. Disassemble it in seconds for no hassle cleaning. Learn more about the Target, Hunter, and 22-45 light Mark IV series models at Ruger.com. The Ruger Mark IV, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
I was thinking about all the fires out west, out where I am. We don't have any fires close to us, but we have smoke everywhere. I mean, normally I can see 15, 20 miles where I am across the mountains. I could probably get maybe a mile. I'm looking out the window right now. Maybe a mile, maybe less in smoke. How do you store your guns? Do you have them in a fireproof or at least a fire-resistant safe? Pretty good call if you do. Also, do you have a plan for getting away? When we are in hurricane season and kind of made it our plan all the time, is we just don't let car gas tanks get below half, ever. Because you may need to run out and jump in your car and go somewhere And you may be, I need to drive an hour to get away from whatever the thing is. Fire, flood, tornado, hurricane, overturned chlorine tank, gas, you know, a railroad car, whatever. It's all part of this mindset of being prepared, and having a gun for self-defense is part of that. But the gun is just one option, it's one thing. So I would encourage you to think in terms of everything out there. Do you have flashlights handy? Do you have headlight lamps handy when the power goes out? Just think through, what if, what am I going to do if? It's a thing, right? It's just part of, it's a lifestyle choice, honestly. Hey, line three, Justin's with us out of Texas. Hey, Justin, you're on Gun Talk. What's cooking?
Hey, Tom. So along those lines, your pants on, gun on.
Mm-hmm.
I wear blue jeans all the time. I have various different blue jeans. And you put your jeans on, you put your belt on, then you almost break your neck trying to get that holster on it, your 3 o'clock position. Do you have any good suggestions for a really good blue jean that works good with holsters?
Why are you breaking? What's the problem? I'm not quite understanding where the challenge is in attaching a holster to your belt.
Well, when some of these jeans, they have the patch with the belt loop, and then you've got a belt loop right before the patch. So if you're got a slight bare belly and you're looking down trying to get that.
Okay, I got you. Okay, here's what you do. Do not let where the manufacturer put the belt loops determine where you want your belt loops.
Uh-huh.
Figure out where you want your gun on your jeans. It would be best if you found a brand, a style, a model of jeans that had the belt loops in the right place, and then you stick with that. That's what you wear all the time. I even though I did not want to do this originally, I have ended up going to 5'11". Type jeans for everything. They're just comfortable. I wear them everywhere. That's what I wear. And it works really well for concealed carry or for open carry. In your case, if you say, okay, but I've got all these jeans and the belt loops in the wrong place, and it's got this goofy patch here, not a problem. I don't know if you sew or if you have somebody in your family who sews. If not, there's a seamstress, people who do alterations. Take them there and say, I want this belt loop moved forward 1 inch or this one moved back 2 inches or whatever it is, figure out this is where I want them, and have them move the belt loops.
Okay. That worked for me.
It really is as simple as that. It's like, okay, these things are in the wrong place. Move them. They will cut them off. They will sew them back on. It's like a piece of cake. Once done, it's taken care of. And now, you know what? And now you have custom blue jeans. So what are you carrying?
Today it's a Glock 48. Tomorrow it could be a SIG P938. I've got a safe one for every day of the
week. I understand. I like that Glock 48. I bought one of those. Single stack, really nice. I just think that's a very nice pistol. Basically just a different version of the 43X. Look, I got to scoot out of here, but Dustin, I would say, to consider figuring out where it is you want those belt loops to be. Do not let the manufacturer determine that and make it not work for you. And then figure them all out and then take it to a seamstress and say, this is where I want them. If they ask why, I said, because that doesn't interfere with my gun when I put it on. You're liable to strike up a conversation and find out that your seamstress carries as well. It has happened. Trust me on that. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham, and this is Gun Talk. Hey, just one thought. If you are unsure about something with your gun, rifle, shotgun, pistol, revolver, you're not sure about its operation, you're not sure how to sight in, you're not sure about something, ask somebody. I have found that people in the firearms world are eager to help. If you're at the range, ask somebody. Ask a range master. Go to a gun store. Ask them. Call the gun store. Say, do you know somebody who could help me with this? Do you know how to do this? Go online. Do some little searching. I don't like Google. I use DuckDuckGo as my search engine. Seek help. It's out there, and people are willing to help you if you only will ask them. Speaking of that, Eric is in Colorado Springs on 3 here. Hey, Eric, what you got going here?
Well, I find it very interesting that we've been talking a lot about cross-eye dominance over the past few weeks. I just found out about a month ago that my 12-year-old son is right-handed, but left-eye dominant. And my question on that is, when you learned how to do it, was it a matter of your dad just saying, okay, son, you're a left-handed rifle shooter, or was there some sort of structure to you learning how to do it?
Yeah, the structure was do it this way or else.
Okay.
pretty much. I mean, he picked up on mine when I was a little bit younger. But, yeah, I think what you do is just say, look, does your son already shoot?
He does a little bit. The way we found out is he actually just got into archery. And one of the first things that they asked him.
Sure.
And it was something we hadn't even thought about.
Well, I could tell you from experience, it's impossible to shoot the wrong eye archery. Or at least it's very difficult. You definitely have to close one eye to pull that off. I shot right-handed for years on bows, and then when the compound bow came out, which tells you how old I am, I was able to switch over to the left side. Here's the deal. Just tell him, look, son, on long guns from now on, it's left shoulder. And to encourage that, I mean, what you need, they say, what do you need, 10,000 repetitions of something to be good at it? Airsoft and BB guns. And lots and lots and lots and lots of trigger pulls. Whether it's in the garage with a little BB gun set up or anything else, anything you can figure it out. Because what he needs is 10,000 gun mounts to the left shoulder. Because at first it's going to feel real weird and odd and all the rest of it, awkward. After a while, it feels, okay, that's going to work. And then it's like, oh, that's just what I do. And he can continue to shoot handguns right-handed. That's not a problem at all. But definitely get him on that left shoulder for rifles. And the thing is, he could still get away with shooting it right-handed with rifles by closing an eye and squinting. Can't do that with shotguns. He needs to be on that left shoulder using that dominant eye for wing shooting. So you might as well move him to the left shoulder for all the long guns.
Great. That sounds good. Then I might actually be able to get my handgun back when we do go shooting.
Now, he can still shoot the right-hand guns, the handguns, so that's not a problem.
Yeah, the problem is he hogs it. I never get to shoot it.
As we say, he was raised right.
I'd like to think so.
There you go. Well, I appreciate the call, and good for you for jumping on that and go ahead and get him switched over. And, hey, it's just an excuse to buy more guns. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that. Hey, everybody. You know, you got to hear a little bit about the after show. You got to hear Merrill's call, and that is so much fun. We do have a good time there, so right now would be the time if you want to be part of that. If you want to ask me or Jim or Michelle a question, by all means, give us a holler right now. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in there. And don't forget to check out past shows. You can go anywhere you can get your podcast. You can find Gun Talk. You just look for Gun Talk Radio. Also, Gun Talk Media, everywhere you can get videos. And follow us on Facebook, Gun Talk Media, and on Twitter, I am at Gun Talk. Be safe. Check your six. Gun safety all the time.